You are listening to Waters Church Podcast. Waters Church is a multi-site, multi-generation community of faith on the East Coast of America. Now, for a message from our pastor.
Message. It's not about the money. It's about my heart. Somebody say it's about my heart. And so I want to ask you a question. You don't have to repeat this and you don't have to answer it out loud. How is your heart? Write this down in your notes so I know you're getting where we're going today. My heart is more important than what I have. My heart is more important than what I have. We live in a country where suicide ideation is at an all-time high since it's been recorded. We have just a soul brokenness. I just sense a soul brokenness over the heart of man. We have had so many people in our churches, every location, coming to Christ, getting baptized. And I say, what are we doing that's better? Well, we're praying and fasting, which I believe God honors. But I also believe that people are hurting more spiritually than ever before in my life, in this country, in the world. It's grievous to me as a pastor to see the things that our leaders are doing to each other and to us, and what our cultural leaders are doing to our kids. And it's grievous. My heart is heavy, but this is why I do what I do. When Jesus comes, I'm out of a job. Amen. But I feel, so someone's going to have to hire me, but I feel like my job is more important than ever before, because people are hurting more than ever before. And I said in week one of this series, if you want to make money, be somebody who helps people. Not for the money, but for people, really. They need help. People need help. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need help. I saw some wives were very happy about that moment. All right. Back, focus. Here we go. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart, look at these next three words. What? Weighs him down. But a good word makes him glad. How many are in the mood for a good word? The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. And notice the qualifier. Above all else, for it determines the course of your life. How is your heart? Anxiety, depression, loneliness, purposelessness, just a void, a hole, just a gaping sound field. And Chris did a great job talking about don't follow your heart last week. And I loved it. And that's true. And the scripture is very clear why we don't follow our heart, because our hearts are deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9, desperately wicked. No one can understand the heart. Young people, I'm just going to follow my heart. Don't be stupid. Don't do it. Here's another reason, though. The Lord showed me this week. I never saw it. Here's another reason why you don't follow your heart. Because your heart, you've never thought about this. I've never thought about it until today. Your heart is a follower. Do you know what your heart is following? We're going to talk about that today. And the condition of your heart is because it has been followed. It is there. Is that condition because it's been following other people, other things that are also deceitful and desperately wicked. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, this is not on the screen, but Paul says about our former, if before we come to Christ, and some of you are here now in our churches, you're not in Christ yet. And here's how Paul describes that lifestyle. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, the spirit, he says, that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And you were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Before Christ, you were a follower of this world and a follower of the spirit at work in this world. It's a spiritual issue. You know it's a spiritual issue because we do this all the time as humans. We constantly make irrational choices based on who we are around, based on the context in which we find ourselves. Raise your hand if you've ever done something stupid at the moment you knew it was stupid. You are amongst friends. I hesitate to tell you this, but when I was a senior in high school, I got into a car with a drunk driver. I don't know what was possessing me to do it. The spirit of this world. God saved me and protected me. The reason why I did it is because my heart is a follower. And I've got great news for you today. Jesus gives us the tools of the trade to lead our hearts to a place of peace. And to do it, we've got to talk about a passage in Matthew chapter 6 that I just read that you think says the exact opposite of what Jesus actually says. We do this with the Bible all the time. We actually do a 180 with many texts in the Bible. We conflate, we completely flip the script. But this one is probably the worst one we do it with. Now, I'm not going to put it on the screen yet, but Matthew 6, 21. We think that Jesus is saying, wherever your heart is, there your treasure will go. So, you have a heart for your kids, and so you'll put money into your kids' lives. Or you have a heart for this particular sport, so you'll put your money there. Or you'll have, you know, you have a heart for missions, so then you'll put money in. That's not what Jesus says. Friend, he says the exact opposite. And Randy Alcorn, who wrote a book about this, and I highly recommend it, called The Treasure Principle, he unpacks this. This is not my stuff. I'm just giving you his stuff. And what he says is it's the exact opposite. No, your treasure, your heart will follow your treasure. Let's look at Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure, what's the word? Is. There your heart, next two words, will be. Also, where your treasure is, present tense, there your heart, what? Will be, future tense. Your heart is presently wherever you formerly put your treasure. Are you getting this? Your heart is in the state it's in because you put your treasure in places that aren't secure, that aren't certain, that aren't rooted in your Father, that aren't protected, that aren't spirit-led, and you are right now dealing with the emotional fallout of a bad investment financially. And God is speaking to all of us through this text, through our Lord, to say you've got a choice in where your heart will be in the future. It might not be where you want it to be, but there's a pathway to peace that you can take if you choose to accept it. And it starts with your treasure. This is the image that I had to share with you today. This is a heart. It's on a leash, and the thing controlling the leash is money. Thank you to Executive Pastor Shane Parsons for handing me a lot of money today. And your treasure, whatever that is, could be money, or wherever you're willing to spend money, let's put it that way, is leading your heart around through whatever mess you have decided is so important that you're going to foolishly spend money on it. And then you wonder why your heart's a mess. You wonder. See, God warned Israel about their kings in Deuteronomy 17:17. He says, your king must not acquire many wives for himself. This is what ancient kings did, all kinds of wives. And then he says, and he must not acquire silver and gold, excessive silver and excessive. That's the most important part. Excessive, he can't do it. What God was speaking prophetically. 600 years later, the king of Israel is named Solomon. He's David's son. He had all the opportunity in the world to bring peace to the entire earth. And he was blessed and he was successful and God gave him all kinds of riches and splendor and glory. But he was never satisfied and he started to do the exact thing Deuteronomy 17:17 said. Look what it says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. It says, Solomon, he had 700 wives. How on earth did he get anything done? Lord have mercy. And he had 300 concubines. That's basically sex slaves. And look at this last line. And his wives, what? Turned away his heart. He treasured foreign women. This is some of you relationally, by the way. This is what you're doing right now. You're chasing people who don't love the Lord. That's your treasure right now. They don't love the Lord. They don't go to church. I know they don't go to church, but they're handsome. Oh, they're so gorgeous. I love, and he loves me, and he makes me feel like a princess. Yeah, but this is your future if you don't wake up. That guy's going to ruin your kids. That guy's going to cause so much conflict. That girl, let me be equally offending to the men. That girl that doesn't love the Lord, she's going to lead you away from God. And you say, I know, but she's so hot. Yeah, so is hell. It's hotter. Watch out. Where is your treasure? All right. So to illustrate this, I have to get personal. And I'm begging you, please don't judge me. Promise? Some of you will not promise, and you will write a Google review and put one star, and I understand. Let me go there. I am the former owner of two boats. Okay, judge. The reason why I say that is because, how dare he talk about money? Keyboard warriors now. How dare he talk about money when he owns boats? I'm not giving to that church, blah, blah, blah. I've already written the Google review for you. Go ahead and post it. Okay. So a couple of years ago, Cheryl and I came into a boatload of money. Pun intended. And I mean a boatload. Not from this job, not from the church. Just a very wise investment. I had no clue it was going to happen, but it did. Well, the first thing we do is tithe. 10% came to this house. Okay, now let's just shelve that for a moment. And the second thing I thought was, this is a boatload of money. And some people in the Apollo Beach location took us out on their boat. And it was a beautiful day. Oh, we ate watermelons and mangoes and we swam with the dolphins and I was in heaven. And I said, I need a boat. I said, Cheryl, I gotta buy a boat. I want that lifestyle. And so I started to search on Facebook Marketplace for used boats, and I realized I don't want somebody else's leftover. So I went to the dealership and I bought a brand new, really expensive boat. I'm telling you, if you knew how much money I spent on this boat, more of you would write the Google review. I'm telling you. I loved it. I remember I left that dealership having signed, and I paid cash. And I was so excited, and I got on the phone on the way home with Cheryl. I said, Cheryl, welcome to the good life, baby. Fire up the caviar and champagne. We are going to enjoy this. Got the boat delivered 2 days later. I walk onto the boat, and I don't know if anybody's ever done this. When you buy something expensive, I walk onto the boat, and I'm like, that's not right. This doesn't work. Take the boat out. Several things don't work. I got problems. I see there's cockeyed, doors that should be opening and closing. They don't open and close. I'm like, this is supposed to be a brand new boat. Do you know what they say about boats? There's two sentences they say about boats. Number one, they say the two happiest days of boat ownership are the day you buy it and the day you sell it. They also say the word boat, B-O-A-T, is an acronym for break out another thousand. The problem was nobody told me about that before I bought the boat. Another thing they say is this boat was manufactured on a Friday. The workers were on weekend mindset and they just mailed it in and they got the boat through production. This boat was made on a Friday. And I had to send it right back to the dealer. I had that boat in my possession. It was titled in my name for 5 months. It was in my possession for 5 weeks of those 5 months. back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I remember it was perfect timing. I was fed up. I said, I want my money back. This is a lemon. This is disgusting. I don't want this boat anymore. They said, no, sir, all sales are final. I called that place every single day. I was like the widow in Luke 18, and I just railed on that judge's house until he heard me. And I said, I want to talk to your boss. And I said, I want to talk to your boss. And he gave me that. I want to talk to your boss. And I went all the way up to the general manager of the store. And I remember, this is perfect time. This is why you need a church. Amen, somebody. This is why you need a church. A church that fasts and prays. Because we were in the middle of a fast and prayer 2 years ago. And I was so Holy Spirit filled up, you know. And I got on the phone with the general manager and I said, listen to me. You sold me a terrible boat, and I know you sold me, and you know you sold me a terrible, and this boat stinks, and I want this boat returned, and I want all my money back, and if you don't do it, I pastor a big church with several locations along the East Coast, and I'm going to tell everybody in my church about your business, and nobody in my church will ever buy a boat from you. You know, you got to do what you can. I didn't say that last part. That's a joke, but I was tempted. Well, guess what? They called me back. They said, all right, Mr. Hatch, we're going to give you your money back and we'll take the boat. And they gave me all my money back. Can I tell you, I felt born again. It was like a Holy Spirit revival right there in my house. I was like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. All right, now, so I don't know if anybody's like me, but I don't learn from my own mistakes. A couple of weeks ago, Jim said, it's great to learn from other people's mistakes. I'm like, Jim, I can't even learn from my own. So there's an over and under on my life. How many times do I have to make the same stupid mistake? And I've added it up. And on average, I need to make the same mistake 1,923 times before I learn to not do it again. Anybody with me on that? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about. So 2 months go by and I'm like, I need a boat. So I said, well, I went and got a brand new boat the first time. So this time I'm going to go the other end of the spectrum and I'm going to get a used boat. And I search on Facebook Marketplace and I got this guy and I see this boat and he's asking a certain amount. And I really lowball him. I mean, I really lowball him. And he sends me a message right back and he says, if you can pick it up tomorrow, it's yours for that. And he gave me the boat for that money with title, tax, and insurance, and registration all included. I'm like, this must be God. Okay. Let me just say, God's never involved in your boat buying decisions. It's not to say that it's evil. It's just God's up there saying, man, I wouldn't do it. Honestly, I just wouldn't do it. All right. So anyway, I get the boat home. I put it in the water. It almost sinks right off the bat because... Funny story, user error. The engine's making a funny story. It doesn't go as fast. It's really rough on the water. It's not the greatest boat. And I take my son out on it. He's like, I don't like it, Dad. And it's just a terrible, and the engine starts to make a noise when it goes too fast. And so I bring it out 5 times. This boat's in my possession for maybe 2 months. I bring it out 5 times. The engine almost dies on me. Finally, I have Tony Collagio. He is an elder in our church. His wife teaches financial peace for us. You know that class that tells you not to buy stuff? So he's on the boat with me, and we are in the water, and we're flying, and we're going, as fast as this boat can go, and we're going, you know, through, and the engine starts to make noise, and it starts, and I'm like, oh, shut off the engine, and I put the engine in the water, and right there, engine dead. Dead, like dead, not coming back to life again, dead. The technical term for boat owners is the engine lost compression. If you know about that, that means that the engine's completely gone. It will never see the light of day again. All right, so I had to get it sea towed back to my house. It was so hideous. It's just so embarrassing. And Tony, whose wife teaches financial peace, is just dying to say, this is why you don't buy things. You know, but he doesn't. Thank God, Tony is so gracious. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I go online before I know about boats that much, and I decide to search for a boat mechanic on Craigslist. I told you not to judge. It gets worse. The guy comes. His name is the boat doctor. He comes, he brings this rusty toolbox and a friend. He shows up and he just basically ting, ting, ting with a couple of things. And he's like, yeah, okay. He goes, all right, I'm going to redo this whole engine. And I'm going to put this whole console together. You're going to love it. And he's like, I need $800. Can you cash out me? That's half down. I give him the $800. Now, yeah, you know. If we could add amendments to the Bible, I would ask for, do not find boat mechanics on Craigslist. Thou shalt not hire thyself boat mechanics, right? So anyway, I'm scammed. I go on Craigslist, don't hear from him for 2 weeks. I'm like, what's going on? I'm texting him. He's like, yeah, I just come. He texts me back. He says, guess what? It's a little bit more expensive. I'm going to need another $1,200. So now I'm really suspicious. Even I, Mr. 1,923 mistakes guy, figure out this guy is scamming. So I go on Craigslist. This is the worst moment of my boat ownership. This is rock bottom, friend. I search on Craigslist services, the boat doctor, in quotes. The very first ad, the very first posting that comes up. You can't make stuff like this up. Do not trust, quote, the boat doctor, end quote. Read the posting. It says, he comes to your house, he fiddles with your boat for an hour, and then he asks you to cash app him a bunch of money. I lost $2,400, never heard from him again. My heart is gone. This is me. And I'm coming up here and preaching. I'm like, I don't know if I can go on with life. I don't know. And so I that's it. That's what I did. That's what I did to my heart. A stupid boat and one Craigslist ad. And my heart was just dragged through hell. And some of you are there because you've done something stupid with money. Or you've put treasure in places where it will not last. And Jesus has a solution. 3 points and then we're done. Number one, when I invest in heaven, my heart becomes healthy. That's what Jesus says. Now, what does that mean to invest in heaven? It means that you give your money, your treasure, to heavenly causes. What's going to heaven from earth? What's making it to heaven from earth? There's only one thing. Are you ready for it? People. The only thing you can bring to heaven with you is people. The old preacher joke is the guy who brought a bunch of gold bars with him to heaven got to the pearly gates and Peter said, oh, you brought pavement. Hey, it still works. All right. Thought it was corny, but thank you. You need to invest your money in getting people to heaven. That's how you store up treasure in heaven. Jesus says, do not lay up. Verse 19, do not lay up. The word lay up means to store up excess. Store up excess here on earth. Because why? It doesn't last. Moth and rust destroy it. Thieves break it and steal it. It doesn't last. Somebody say it doesn't last. Whatever you got your mind on, whatever is on your Amazon wish list right now, does not last. All that stuff in Walmart doesn't last. That appliance that you bought on a whim, that's sitting on your counter or in your cupboard right now that you used once, doesn't last. America has a storage problem. It's a $38 billion industry. We spend $38 billion a year as Americans on storage. In Florida, it's always so funny because we see like them breaking ground for construction for a new building and we're like, oh, what is it? Storage. Can't somebody put a Chick-fil-A in that place? I mean, seriously, really? The average home spends $110 a month on storage facilities. This number really shocked me. Storage facilities in America, the square footage of storage facilities in America is 3 times the square footage of Walmart and Sam's Club combined. We have more storage space for the garbage that they're selling us at those stores. It's like, we just can't get enough. The average American throws away 63 pounds of clothing per year. In 1980, the average home was 1,600 square feet, and the average family was bigger than it is today. Fast forward 40 years, and the average home is 2,400 square feet, And the family is much smaller than it was 40 years. We're having less kids. In fact, Elon Musk says it. Everybody hates him for it. He's absolutely right. We have a population problem. We are not producing enough kids to sustain the infrastructure of this country right now. That's the real problem. And so what we've done over the last 40 years is we have traded, listen to this, we have traded smaller homes and bigger families for bigger homes and smaller families, and all we got in return was depression, anxiety, and suicide ideations. This is a problem. This is the diagnosis that Jesus is making to the human condition. Do not store up. Don't put your money in earth. How do I put my money into heaven? That's what he says. He says, put your money, lay up, verse 20, lay up your treasures in heaven. How do I do that? Okay, well, I always say the tithe is the starting point. We've been talking about tithe, and I'm so glad our location pastors, all of them, did such a great job last week telling their story about tithe. I told them, guys, tell your story about tithing, because they've heard it from me enough. You need to know it works no matter who you are. So 10% to the house of God so that we can preach the gospel and people can get saved. And by the way, people are getting saved left, right, and center. And if you tithe to this house or any of our locations, you are part of the solution to the problem in this country right now. You are. But beyond the tithe, that tithe is a floor. It's not a ceiling. It's not a goal. It's a starting point. You give beyond the tithe. My wife and I give to Compassion International. We sponsor 7 children, $38 a month, that we give to a very reputable Christian organization that preaches the gospel, starts schools and churches all over the world. It is a joy to give that money. We know we are investing where? In heaven. In heaven. You got to also check who you give to, because not every organization is reputable anymore. A lot of them have been co-opted and abdicated by very, very wrong, non-biblical philosophies. You've got to check. Are they preaching the gospel? Are they leading people to Jesus? You invest in heaven when you are generous with friends, family, people, strangers, even people who cannot pay you back. Jesus talks about that. Don't give to people who can pay you back. Then you're just doing it for yourself. Give to people who can't pay you back. So we are storing up treasure. Now, let me just... What God is saying is, I want you to be a savvy investor. And I want you to consider the prospectus of the two companies that you can invest in. There's two companies. Not many. There's two. There's Earth Co. and there's Heaven Co. Or Earth Inc. and Heaven Inc. Let me give you the perspectives of both of those companies. Are you ready? Here's Earth. On Earth, you can receive occasional joys and moments of happiness, bright lights, fancy cars, and lots of salesmen. It also has some great sunsets and landscapes, mountains, rivers, and oceans. If you're lucky, you will have a few close friends and some of your family will love you by the end of your days. That's Earth's prospectus. But here's the small print. Here's the little rapid fire sentence at the end of the commercial for the drug you think you need. Okay. Much suffering and constant bad news from 17 different 24-hour news networks, terrible aches and pains, which gets worse the longer you live, deterioration, destruction, crummy health insurance. And if you're lucky, a mildly painful death surrounded by a few friends and family, if you're lucky. You want to invest in that? That stock's going down, friend. I know it looks like the chart looks so positive. There's a crash coming. There's a crash coming. And the moment Jesus comes back, all the stuff that you think is so valuable is going to be worthless. This is why Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:9, those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation, into a snare, and many senseless and harmful boat disasters. I'm sorry, desires. Still in here. That plunge people into ruin. Notice, just underline harmful desires, because it's not even having it. It's just wanting it that's harmful. It's not even having it. It's just wanting it. That's harmful. So you store up in heaven. Here's heaven's perspectives. Heaven Inc. Here it is. Everlasting joys with no sorrow ever. No tears, no pain, no suffering, no heart attacks, no diabetes, no cancer. Nothing will ever deteriorate, get destroyed, or die. You don't need any insurance whatsoever. Most importantly, God, your creator, is there, and so are all who love him. Beauty and glory beyond your imagination, the fullness of his pleasure forevermore, and no one can ever take it away from you. That's heaven. You don't get old. You don't get wrinkly. You don't get fat and out of shape in heaven. You don't need Ozempic in heaven. His glory and more glory. You know what heaven's going to be like? Every day's going to be like, and then the morning, that's going to be heaven for eternity. And you never go to sleep. You're just, whoa. Invest in that. Some of you are like, I'm investing for my 401k. Really? That's as far as you're thinking? Think longer. But let me just make some qualifying statements. It's not wrong to have stuff. It's not wrong. That's why the eighth commandment is there. Thou shalt not steal. Implication, it's okay for people to own stuff. Don't steal it. It's okay to invest and plan. That's all over the Proverbs. It's absolutely necessary and biblical to take care of your family and your children. And it's totally fine to be prosperous and wealthy. And by the way, let me circle back to the boat. I am not saying that you shouldn't own a boat. I am not saying that at all. Please don't walk out of here saying, well, I was going to buy a boat, but Pastor Tim made me feel guilty. Don't do that. The only way you should feel guilty is that if you own a boat and you don't invite Pastor Tim on it with you, then you have my permission to feel guilty. Randy Alcorn says like this, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You've never seen a U-Haul pulled by a hearse. When J.D. Rockefeller died, somebody asked, how much did he leave behind? They said, all of it. You can't take it with you. Point number two, when I invest in heaven, my life becomes lighter. When you put your treasure in heaven, you loosen the cords of this earth off of your heart. So it sounds like Jesus is changing the subject, but he's not. In verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, how are you looking at the world? And then he says, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Everybody do me a favor. And just, this is a trial. I didn't do this last night, but let me just see how this works. Everybody do me a favor. Every location. I know I'm on video at several locations. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Everybody do this real quick. On the count of three, I want you to make a stingy face. Are you ready? Make a stingy face. One, two, three. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. For those of you who are participating, thank you. All four of you. Okay. That's a stingy face. Guess what happens? I get darkened. I can't see it clearly when I'm stingy. That's what Jesus means by if your eye is bad. The word is in Greek, it's a euphemism for a bad eye or an evil eye. It's a Jewish colloquialism in the Old Testament. Here's what it says in the Old Testament about having, the word is a colloquialism for a stingy man. Proverbs 28 verse 22. A stingy man or a man with an evil eye, that's the Hebrew literal translation, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. Jesus says, if you look at life like this, you're darkening your soul. You're darkening your heart. If you're always thinking about what it's going to cost you, what people are going to take from you, you're actually bringing darkness inside. And then he says, if the light within you is darkness. Another way of translating that is that if you think you can see and you can't, you're even worse off. If you think you're generous and you're not, you're worse than those who know they're not generous. It's a darkened place. And notice the words that you, can we put verse 22 and 23 back up on the screen? Your whole body is full of darkness. How great is the dark? These are damnable diagnoses by Jesus. And it's in the context of generosity and giving. Yikes. And then if I look through the Old Testament record, I see, and the New Testament record, and I see stories, heroes of the faith and zeros of the faith. And all the zeros chased money. All the zeros. Lot, Abraham. Abraham chases God. Lot chases Sodom. Lot loses his wife. He loses his sons-in-law. He loses his home, everything he owns, because he wanted to be rich. Achan goes after the Babylonian garment during the Battle of Jericho and the two gold bars, and he buries them. The most ironic thing is he buries them in the sand, and then he's put to death, and all of his children, all his family, put to death, because when you chase wealth, you destroy your soul. And in the Old Testament, Eli's sons were priests, and they took the best of the offerings and gave the leftovers to God. God put them to death. Solomon, we already talked about. Perhaps front page guy, front page in the stories in heaven about chasing wealth is a guy named Judas, who walked with Jesus for 3 years and sold him out for what? For what? 30 pieces of silver. He wanted money. Past Judas and Jesus, Ananias and Sapphira sold land, gave a portion to the church, said it was the whole amount, lied to the Holy Spirit. Peter said, you've lied to God. They were put to death. They chased money. Paul talks about Demas, who loved this present world and forsook him. And in the last book of the Bible, there's seven churches that are talked about. And Jesus writes a letter to every church. And to the last church, the worst church on the list, is named Laodicea. And he says, you think you're rich. You think you can see. You think you're well clothed. But I tell you, you are pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The worst church on the list. Did this, put money on the altar of their faith. Darkens you. You lose your soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his soul? Conversely, church history has story after story of people who put it all on the table for God. One of them is named Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary to the Aka Indians in 1952. He and four friends flew over the village of this cannibalistic tribe in Ecuador for several weeks. They dropped food and supplies. They thought, let's win them over. We'll land the plane. We'll tell them about Jesus. They land the plane. A miscommunication amongst the tribal leaders leads to them spearing Jim Elliot and four of his friends to death. These guys bleed out on a river in Ecuador at the age of 28. His wife, Elizabeth, takes up the cause. And she goes back to the very village that speared her husband and brings that whole village to Jesus Christ. And to this day, that village and that people are saved. And there's a thriving church and Christian community there. And the cannibalism is gone there because they invested in heaven. And Jim Elliot said in his journal, weeks before he died, he wrote this down. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You don't lose if you invest in heaven. This is why Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide for yourselves money bags that don't grow old with treasures in the heavens that don't fail. Where's your investment going? That's where your heart is going. Number three, when I invest in heaven, my future is secured by my Father. This point is very short. When I invest in heaven, my Father starts to put, this is so great. Some of you need to hear this. My Father starts to put guardrails around my life. He protects me. He shields me. He rebukes the devourer for me. Malachi 3:11. I love that passage. I will rebuke, if you tithe, I will rebuke the devourer. I will rebuke the things that are coming for your money. How many know you've got a bunch of devourers coming for your money? And so Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Who's your master? You got two choices. You got two choices, money or God. Here's money. Money is a ruthless, cruel, heartless master. Never gets enough, doesn't love you, won't take care of you, and ultimately leaves you. God protects, provides, and most importantly, he saves. He saves. So, circling back to my boat story, because it ends good. Remember when I said I tithe first? That, now you can make fun of me and you can disagree with me about this. I don't care, but I'm going to say it. It's as if God built a iron wall around that money and said, he honored me with it. He's not going to lose it. And here I am, stupid me, I need a boat, blah, 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 not learning from my mistakes. And here I am, boat doctor, I'm out, an entire boat, engine, and I gave money to some moron on Craigslist. So I just hit my knees, I start praying. I'm like, Lord, I can't tell Cheryl I lost $800 to a scam artist on Craigslist. And so I just hit my knees, I pray, and then I text this guy, because we had had a conversation when he came. He found out that I was a preacher. So I text him, I say, look, man, I know you're a scam artist. He writes back, no, I'm not, and I actually hate that accusation. I will be back. I'm like, no, you won't. And I write back, and I say this. I say, hey, you know, you remember when I told you I was a preacher? I said, it's one thing to scam regular people. You got to use what you got, friend. I'm just telling you. Said, if you scam a preacher, God's going to get you. No response. And I just hit the knees and pray again. And I wait 48 hours. And I can't believe this happened. I get a notification on my phone, Cash App. The boat doctor has just sent you $800. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. That iron wall of protection. It gets better. I still got a boat that didn't run. And I had taken out a $100 insurance policy on it because it was a used boat. So I called the insurance, the next guy I talked to said, call the insurance company. It's probably just suck something up and it's just going to ruin the engine and it might be covered. So I don't think so. He said, no, try it. So I did. I called the insurance company. The insurance adjuster comes out first day, says nothing there. I need to tear it down more. Comes out the next day, nothing there. Comes down the third day. He had to come back 3 days to tear this engine completely apart. Third day, I get a phone call. I'll never forget where I was. I was with Pastor Tom in Apollo Beach. I get the phone call and he said, good news, Mr. Hatch. The entire engine is covered. We'll be sending you a check for the entire amount. It is an insurance issue. All right, now, but I got a boat that I need a new engine for, and I start shopping, and I'm like, you know what? I don't need a boat. So I come this close. This is why the amount that they send me for the boat engine is so much. I'm like, the boat's worthless. It must be because all the money's in the engine. I came this close to just calling a salvage company to pick up the boat. In fact, I did. They said, oh, we don't pick up boats. I was going to give it away. I'm like, oh, okay. So I just, on a whim, I said, let me put the boat on, without an engine, on Facebook Marketplace. And I listed for a couple grand. I get 45 offers in like 2 minutes for this boat. And someone, this is not a joke, gives me 4 times what I was asking for the boat. Adding it all up together, after 8 months of absolute emotional hell with my heart being dragged all over the place. After 8 months of 2 boat ownerships, the iron wall of defense of God's faithfulness in my life, I come out $4,000 richer on the other side. Now, that might not sound like a big deal to you, but to me, it was like, hallelujah, Jesus. You know how to take care of your stupid saints sometimes. Some of you are not there yet, and your heart is sunk with all kinds of emotional garbage because you invest in a worthless earth that's going to hell, and you need to change your investment strategy and send it on ahead. And God will bless this life too. He will honor it, and he'll protect you because he's a good master. He's actually a father. Who provides, protects, and saves. Sermon in a sentence. Investing in heaven brings healing to my heart, lightness to my life, and peace to my future through the Father's loving care. I want this for you. We've been talking about money for 4 weeks. Congratulations, you made it through. But it's not about the money. It really isn't about the money. It's about the opportunities that God gives you. It's about the grace that God gives you. It's about the trust that you need to put in the Lord. And it's about your heart. And I want to challenge everyone at every location that today is your day. Some of you, listen, is your day to put your heart in the hand of God. How do I do that? I receive Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess him as Lord, and I surrender my life to him.
Thank you for listening to this message from Waters Church. For more information or to visit one of our local assemblies, please visit waterschurch.org. God bless and have a great day.